Roy Jackson here. You're listening to the Building the Future podcast, sponsored by the Mechanical Contractors Association, MCA Detroit. Every episode, we will be putting a spotlight on the union construction trades training programs and why it's the career path of the future. We're kicking off this edition of Building the Future podcast from the Wayne Westland School's Career Technical Center, and we'll learn more about how the center's hands-on training is helping to build a career path for the future of the construction trades. Today, we'll be talking with Dr. John Dignan. He's the Wayne Westland School Superintendent. Stephanie Bigelow, Principal of Westland School's William D. Ford Career Technical Center. Instructor Kerry Thompson will be here as well as Mara Magarossi-Leitner. Joining me now, Dr. John Dignan. He's superintendent of the Wayne Westland Schools. Also, Stephanie Bigelow is here. She is principal of Westland Schools William D. Ford Career Technical Center. Thank you both for joining me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So how did this start?
The Career Tech Center, yeah. It actually started in the late 70s, early 80s with William D. Ford, who was representative, not related to the Ford family.
No Ford family. Okay.
Yeah, no Ford family. That's a misnomer a lot of people have in the area. And the superintendent at the time was Tim Dyer. And so they had this dream. And actually, when they did it, it was so innovative to kind of create a career tech center. And they were able to kind of secure state and federal funds. And then they started with the construction of the Career Tech Center here in Westland.
What's the philosophy behind the Tech Center?
We just let our instructors put forward their passion, and it hooks the kids with their interest, and they flourish. We give them every skill set they need to be able to get their feet wet and tip themselves into industry.
Talk about the different career paths that people can take.
We have 21 programs, and I'm going to let Stephanie kind of dig a little deep. We have everything from HVAC to building construction, to firefighting, EMT, to graphic design, and I'll let Stephanie get into more of the programming.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cybersecurity, digital photography, and film and TV. We have health science classes, sports medicine, health occupations, game design, programming. So there's something for everybody across the board.
So as the Career Center just started from the beginning and started taking off, you guys just added more. And what was, you know, the ongoing careers that people wanted? You just kind of added those to the instruction.
We keep evolving. And we're adding in new programs. Mechatronics is coming back full throttle, and we had SME donate some money that has definitely helped to push that program forward. It's amazing.
And also the law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So to complete our public safety, we have fire, EMT, and now law enforcement to kind of service the needs and the demands there. One of the things that Career Tech Center does so well, our instructors make the programs. They connect the kids. They have the passion. But we also offer industry certification and articulated college credit for a lot of our kids. So as Ms. Bigelow touched on, a lot of our kids can go right into apprenticeships and kind of jump in the field to kind of fill the ranks there, which we're very excited about because especially in Michigan, we were known as the small manufacturing hub of the world, and our skilled trades are second to none. So mm-hmm. we want to make sure that we create a pathway for a lot of our kids to kind of pursue some of those opportunities.
And college isn't for everyone, but you can have a career path in the skilled trades and make a good living and, you know, take care of your family and not have the payments that you need to pay after the fact.
Interesting thing here, though, we are career tech. And I think in the past, people just thought VOTech, you just go right into industry and that's it. But every one of our programs offer a different post-secondary option for every kid. And it looks different for every student that's feeding through that program.
Okay.
So some may go to college.
Right.
Construction management, mm-hmm. for welding, so forth. Some may go straight into an apprenticeship. Some may go into just a straight job where they get on-the-job training. Everything's paid for through that route.
Yeah.
Lots of opportunity, but it looks different for every kid in each of our programs.
I got to figure that these young people, you know, are very excited about these career paths they can take, and especially being able to come to a place like this.
Yeah, no question about it. And again, we open our doors to 15 other school districts in the surrounding area. As Ms. Bigelow touched on, We have individualized plans for every single child. We understand every student's unique, their career ambitions and pathways unique, and we're trying to offer that. We have early middle colleges that are built on our career tech programs. That was done on purpose because we wanted to create natural pathways for our kids. And again, at the end of the day, and I think as K-12 entity, we were probably guilty of this. The last decade, we've been jamming and pushing college readiness down the throats of everyone. Mm-hmm. And like you said earlier, college might not be the pathway that students might want to travel down. We've created pathways where they're going to get articulation of college credit and also industry certifications that they can choose what their post-secondary journey is going to look like once they leave us. And I think it's a credit to Stephanie and her team here at Career Tech for really kind of being pioneers to kind of create some of these pathways for our kids.
So it's really not cookie-cutter curriculums here.
No, definitely not. The coolest thing in the world, though, is if you walk into any of these classrooms, you'll see a very eclectic mix of students. And they all adore each other, respect each other, and just feed off of each other in terms of what they can learn. They crave knowledge on every level because they love their teachers. They see them as role models, but they're connected by passion. So kids that would have never hung out with each other at high school because of the cliques and so forth are now the best of friends in all of these classes, and they end up becoming lifelong friends as a result of that, too.
That's excellent. Tell us about the advisory committee and the business components.
So every program here is fueled by their advisory committee. What an advisory committee is, essentially, is a it's a committee of individuals that help steer and drive each of the programs. So when we say that we're industry aligned, we totally are, because those advisory committees are heavily weighted with industry members. And so they put forward twice a year their thoughts, feelings, opinions. They look at the equipment, they make recommendations, and that helps fuel and drive what those kids are learning in class. Okay. They will suggest what credentials they want, what credentials maybe are kind of phasing out, and what new things we want of our students. It's good for our students because we often can hand them over to those companies with just a plethora of options, just because they help make those decisions and they know what the teachers are putting forward, and it just all perfectly comes together. So those advisory committees happen twice a year with those meetings, and it's heavily weighted in industry. It also has a post-secondary representative, usually multiple ones, just because of the articulated credit and so forth. And then we also have a special POPS representative to make sure that we are doing everything we can for all of our students and making sure that if those other students need extra support, but they're really talented in that realm, how do we make sure we get them to where they need to be? And then we have parents, current parents and current students that are also in there to help kind of steer some of that guidance with them.
And I was going to ask that too about the parents and their involvement in their kids' education and what their kids are doing here at the Career Center.
Well, they do a great job of highlighting different events that draw parents into the facility itself to see their kids. Again, a lot of it's hands-on learning, so they create projects, have final things. We build houses in the community and typically invite the parents and guardians to come see it, which is a big deal. Matter of fact, you will be talking about Carrie. They do a fire exercise. I don't want to steal any of his thumb or thunder in the back. That is a practical experience that kids would use in their field of choice. And again, we always try to incorporate parents and guardians so they actually can see their kids in action. We can highlight and frame and celebrate their accomplishments. Mara, who you'll talk to too, she had a lot of the artwork that they did, her kids in her class, that were displayed at the Detroit Institute of Art, for instance. So again, they have events there that kind of draw the families in to kind of celebrate the success of the kids.
You know, I'm enjoying talking to you both, Dr. John Dignan, Superintendent, and Stephanie Bigelow. One more question. What are some of the work-based learning opportunities offered here?
I'm going to let her talk about the career tech, and then I'm going to talk about the district one. So you go first, Stephanie.
It's amazing. And again, every program looks different. It could be on-the-job training. It could be just job shadowing. It could be bringing those people in from industry and assessing what the students are working on, what projects, and so forth. And again, every single student has a different experience. If we're just talking about a presenter coming in, okay, they're all going to get that. But we take it to the highest level, even going with youth apprenticeships, to make sure that we can start steering these kids into the right career pathway once they leave school. One of the other things with work-based learning is that when we get kids that have, like, if they came in as a junior mm-hmm. and they want to continue with us with a solid plan that second year, we have Gabe Bobowski, she's our work-based learning mm-hmm. coordinator. She will look for a placement, and they can go to that job, be paid for it, get additional wow. training, and show up for one day of the week, get their specialized training sure. in their classroom, but then actually make money and go out into the real world and start living life in a way that, you know, you just never thought about for, you know, an 18, 19
year old. Right,
so
exactly.
Super impressive.
Can you talk about Luna, too?
So we, this year, we wanted to start putting forward youth apprenticeship programs. And again, it's hard because every company has their own HR that says, oh, they got to be 18. Oh, we got to do that. Uh-huh. But we know that there's a real need and a demand. So Gabe Bobowski, she powered through, did everything she possibly could, because in CTE, if they're in a class, we have that ability to have 16, 17, and 18-year-olds placed because they have that extensive training here.
Okay.
And so she was able to formulate a plan, and they put together the first youth apprenticeship in this region. And we have students that completed their first round this summer, and they are well on their way to an apprenticeship.
Wow.
Which is not easy to get into.
No,
I know
it's
people
not.
Say they're all over the place,
yeah.
but they are super hard to get into.
Now I'm going to talk about a district one for kids that might not have the ability to come to Career Tech. We were a few years ago given a work-based learning grant sponsored by Representative Tlaib that brought $950,000 into our district to pay kids in internships with entities that might not be able to pay them. So, for instance, a kid might want to go into the medical field, Corewell Health, can provide the supervisor but doesn't have the money to pay that student to
okay.
be in that internship. We partnered with SEMCA. We can pay that student for that internship. We've worked with the city of Westland. They have a lot of job possibilities there. Same thing. They provide the supervision. We provide the students to kind of live in those internships and get real life work experience to figure out if it's something that they want to pursue. Regardless if they decide to go to college
sure.
or jump in the work, they're going to get that experience that they're going to be
which
able
is very
to
important.
Use. Oh, absolutely. It's going to save them money at the end. They might think, hey, I want to do this. They get into it. And nope, but I saw this over here.
Uh-huh.
This is what I
uh-huh.
want to do. The other neat thing about this work-based learning opportunity is we were awarded a grant from the state of Michigan for $250,000 for driver's ed. And the reason I'm bringing up driver's ed, when you talk to a lot of the skilled trades training directors, one of the big issues or barrier are kids having their driver's license. Well, segment one and segment two is pretty expensive for
it
a lot
is.
Of families.
Well, I don't
and
know
if
about
you have
that.
Multiple kids, I mean, you feel it. I don't care who you are.
That's true.
You feel it. So with this internship program, if kids finish in good standing after the summer, we will pay for segment one and two of driver's ed through this grant so that they can get their driver's license. It's an extra incentive
sure.
for kids doing the right thing. But
right.
again, it's a team here in Wayne Westland making things happen. So, you know, there are a lot of people and a lot of people that are part of this process.
Well, the kids are the beneficiaries of what you guys are doing, you know, and being able to, you know, get these grants and things that will help you guys, you know, extend what you're doing here at the Career Tech and what you're doing in the district. It's just great. And I really appreciate both of you being here, Dr. John Dignan, Wayne Westland School Superintendent, and Principal Stephanie Bigelow. Appreciate you guys being here on the program. With me now is Kerry Thompson. He's fire and EMT instructor here at the William D. Ford Career Technical Center. And Mara Magarossi-Leitner, who is the digital photography and media instructor at the William D. Ford Career Technical Center. It is a pleasure to have you both here.
Thank you.
I've been prepared. I know who I'm dealing with here. So
yes, sir.
Let's get right to it. How did you guys get involved with the programs? Let me start with you, Kerry.
So I was brought here to be an EMT instructor 13
13, 14 years ago, and they wanted me to develop a fire program for here. I'm a firefighter for the city of Royal Oak. I'm a captain shift commander for the city of Royal Oak, and so it wasn't a big stretch to be able to, you know, to branch out into fire. So I started the program with nothing, and we built it up over the years, and it's been one of my greatest accomplishments. I'm just so happy to be here. The school is just terrific. The students are just sponges. They want to soak up the information. It's been probably one of the most rewarding things that I've done with my life is to be able to give the knowledge that I built up over, you know,
How many years?
38 years altogether. Wow. I'm 25 years at the Royal Oak Fire Department, and Monday is my retirement day. I'm retiring there. But I've got all this knowledge that I've built up over the years of 38 years of experience and knowledge that I've built up over time. And to be able to give that away and it not go away when I, you know, leave the field, to be able to give that information away to the next generation of firefighters, it's really rewarding. It's a great thing to be able to spread the knowledge around so that they can be good in their field, too.
Absolutely. Mara, how did you get here?
Well, actually, I started here. I graduated from this program when I went to high school. So I graduated from John Glenn and from the William D. Ford Career Technical Center as a part of the media production and digital media track, which transformed into what my department is now. And I left from here and went into this. I went to Oakland Community College and then went to College for Creative Studies and went on further on to get my master's degree. And I am working as both a fine artist and then also teaching at the same time. And somebody asked me if I wanted to come home, and I was like, yeah, actually I do. And so I wanted to make sure that my kids that I've been working with had a better opportunity than what I had. My opportunity was great and wonderful, and I was able to do so many beautiful things, but there were so many more things that I wanted to do and so many little gaps and things that I was like, ooh, it would be so much better if they knew these things earlier. And so I've wanted to set up over time to make sure that when they go out, they can go even further than what I've done and what I've been able to do.
What programs fall in the digital photography and media instruction?
Well, digital photography and media, there's we're our own program, and then we also have film and TV media next door, and then we have digital art and design, which is essentially graphic design down the hall. And so all of those kind of work together in tandem with different things. So we're dealing with photography primarily with also a little touch of design here and there. Next door is dealing with film and also sound and music recording and all of those kind of things. And then the digital art and design is dealing with graphic design and animation too.
Wow, which is just growing and growing, all of those fields.
Yes, so we're essentially dealing with the digital arts for this entire district. So at the comprehensive high schools, they don't really have as many of the digital art classes. They essentially send those students here with us. And it's great because with like a photography course, one thing that's really special about being here is that our class length is a lot longer. They're here with us for half the day. And so they spend half the day at their high school and then they come here for the other half. And so we get them for 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours, 5 days a week, potentially 2 years in a row, is way more time than most kids spend in any college program with on one subject,
I
right?
agree.
You're there one day, once a week for a semester or whatever, no matter how many classes you take, you're not getting that amount of time. So our kids are learning really quickly, really rapidly through all of these things and being able to go out into the world with a lot of experience really early that then jumpstarts them further.
And Carrie, with fire and EMT, what are some of the things you teach?
We teach everything that they teach at the academy. We actually certify the students as Fire 1, Fire 2, and hazardous materials operations. The students that attend our EMT program, they actually can get state certified to be an EMT out in the field. We've had a bunch of students. We probably have, over the course of time of being here all this length of time, we probably have 100 or 200 students that are out in the field working as firefighters. We have some that are working in wildland firefighting. We have them working at the airport. We have them working in regular city fire departments that are out just making a big difference in the community. It's just been terrific. They get out of here. We give them all the knowledge base that they had. To touch on what Mara said, we give them the knowledge that they would get in the academy, but we have a little bit extra time with them, and so we can make them the best. We can spend time if they're failing in one area. We can get in there and jump in and teach them and train them and make them better at it. And so nobody comes through here to be a failure. We make them successful, and we can spend that time with them. And it's just great.
And that means a lot, I know, to young people when they know that I have instructors who are not going to let me fail.
Yes, sir.
Who are going to, you know, if I'm falling in one, you know, I can, you know, get lifted up by these instructors who are going to make sure I don't fail, which gives them encouragement.
Yes, sir.
And you don't want them to be discouraged.
No, sir.
When they hit a road bump.
And one thing that's really cool, too, is that many of the instructors here come from industry. And so I have a teaching certificate and teaching experience. But additionally, I've been working as a fine artist. I work with galleries. I show my work internationally. I am also in development for a festival, a photography and film festival in the city of Detroit next year. And so all of those events that are happening are things that our kids can go to because they're like, oh, let me get a chance to network too, right? Carrie has fire events or different things that are going on. His kids go to those things and they get a chance to see what this looks like for real with somebody showing them the way and showing them the path. So it isn't just us telling them, oh, this is what you have to do to be successful in the field. It's, oh, hey, we have a gallery opening on Friday. You guys are welcome to come. And you know what? A handful of kids come each time, and they come to all these different things because they are so passionate about this field that they want to be a part of it with us too. We're creating the new creative class of our of this industry and setting them up so that they can then go into the next thing. And so it's important that they know how to network and do those things now.
Talk about some of the past highlights. I'm going to ask each of you.
Yes.
You know, like a story or a highlight from your teaching that you remember that really kind of stands out.
That's an awesome thing. I love that question. It's one of the reasons why the passion for me in teaching is there is the students that are successful and the ones that wouldn't be successful in the world if they didn't have this program. We were just a big, happy family. We get along with all of our other instructors, and then when the kids come in, they become a part of that family. And so the students that I taught 14 years ago, I'm still involved in their life. I go to the weddings. I go to the childbirths. I go to all the things.
Wow.
Just to still, after all this time, and we'll have a Christmas party this year, and we invite the students that were in the classes before, and they'll come back, and they'll spend time, and we have 100 students from the past that come in to have Christmas with us, and we just get to be like a family, and I get to be like a father figure to them, where they send me cards for Father's Day, and they call me, and they do all that, and Christmas time they're calling and seeing us. But one of the ones that sticks out in my mind is a student that was going through, and they were just kind of like faltering. They weren't gonna be successful in life. They were, you know, the failure to launch.
Okay.
And so what happened was, is I got involved in their life, and I told them, look, you know, we got to get you squared away on this path, because if you don't, you know, prison's definitely a thing that could happen to you. So we got them squared away and got them interested in the firefighting field. And when they got interested in the firefighting field, I mean, they really got passionate about it. And so I stayed on them. You know, there were some financial issues where they had difficulties, you know, getting the education. Back then, we didn't certify the students.
Okay.
So they had difficulties. So I helped them. One of my friends helped them financially go to the academy, you know, the fire academy and the EMT academy and paramedic and all that. And they became super successful. You know, when they got to be 20 years old, they were out in the field working as a firefighter, making a substantial living, where they could take care of themselves and their family. And so there's hundreds of stories like that that I've seen over the course of my career, but that one's the highlight for me. The person now is a pillar of society.
See, that's wonderful.
And everybody's looking up
that's
to
great.
Them, and they are a good family person. They've
yeah.
got a wife and two kids, and very respectful, honest, and everything that you would ever want in a friend or a family member. That's what this young man is now. And it's just, to me, there's no better success story in my life. I could care less about anything that I've done with my life. It's what these students do and the success that they have. That's what I care about.
That's the legacy for you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mara?
I think, too, one thing that's has been really special about my program is that, or really all of our programs, is just seeing like the accolades that they're collecting along their way and what they're doing to build those resumes before they ever leave, right? And so we try really hard to give them a lot of different types of opportunities and different types of things to help them stack that up, right? We're laughing telling them they're collecting infinity stones. Like, come on, you need to collect these things. You need to collect your certifications. You need to collect these different things, awards, whatever it may be. Well, in the art world, in order to be able to get your resume or CV to be moving, you have to be in exhibitions. You have to be showing your work out there. You have to be doing those things. things.
Right.
So my students have been, I mean, in the past year, we had kids that were highlighted in the Westland Public Library contest. They were competing against adults. We had students that won Scholastic Art and Writing Awards. We had students that were featured in the Museum of Contemporary Art Detroit, as well as students that were featured in the DIA. And so all of those things, like, I don't even have a show on the DIA on my resume as somebody who's shown a lot.
Yeah.
And so to walk out at 17 years old and slide your resume across the desk at somebody and say, oh yeah, I showed at the DIA 2 years in a row, which I have students who have done that, that's huge.
That's big.
That's
big.
Bigger than, that's showing a legacy of what they can do. But also what I think is really fun for me too, goes back to like that idea of kids being able to come back and talk. I have, essentially, we run like a mentorship situation where I have year ones and year twos, and my year twos are working on developing their portfolio. They want to focus in exactly what type of photography they want to go into, and it's each individualized. They, you know, one kid is very different from the next. And so I partner them with former students who come back and are helping them also think through the development of their portfolio.
Uh-huh.
And students are so excited. They're like, hey, Mags, when are we going to do the next, you know, when can I come in for mentorship? When can I come in to see the kids? I want to see what's going on. I have a game plan for them. I have artists they should look at. And like that, I think is so cool because they all speak the same language now.
Yes, yes.
And them, it doesn't matter whether they were with me 10 years ago, 5 years ago, they're with me today. They know how to talk to each other. And that language of the art world means that they're going to be able to communicate when they leave us.
Are there any future competitions coming up?
We compete in Skills USA. We take our fire and EMT. Last year we had a first place finisher in the state of Michigan for firefighting, and we went to Atlanta to compete in the United States competition, and our student came in sixth place in the United States.
That's
and
wonderful.
We're taking him back this year. He's got to do
That's
better
right.
this
he
year.
Will. So, he will. Yeah. I know he will.
Take this.
We're taking a bunch, and we're just really proud of him. Competition is great, and however they place is how they place. Yeah, I want them to do good, and I want them to be in first place, but
sure.
It's just the knowledge that they gain from it of being confident in their skills.
That's it.
And then they can go out, and nobody has, when they go into a career path, they don't have to worry about, like, oh, I could be second best, I could be third best. We know when these students leave us, we know that they're going to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
We know that they're going to go into their career path, and whoever gets any of our students, and it doesn't matter if it's Mara's or mine or any of the other ones here, we know when the students leave us that when they go out into the field, they're going to be the best. They're going to have the skills and the knowledge and the confidence to be able to go out and do the things that they need to do to be able to be successful and take care of themselves and their family.
People know our kids from a mile away.
Yes.
I mean, when and it is crazy to think about. A lot of my kids end up going to art school or different things. So like when you were discussing earlier about college or things.
Sure.
For photography, college is a viable career path, and that tends to be something that's one of the requirements to do.
Okay.
Not necessarily always a 4-year degree, it could be a 2-year degree, it could be 4, it could be master's. It depends on where you're at,
mm-hmm.
and what you're planning on doing with it, right?
Okay.
But some of my students go to the College for Creative Studies, which is one of the top art schools in the world, and it's here in Detroit. And
that's right.
The instructors will call me and go, is this person your kid?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, yeah. And they're like, God, I can always tell your kids are a mile away.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, It's because we have all this time with them, and we teach them we don't just teach them the skill, but we teach them how to make discoveries for themselves. Like, one of the huge components of my course is research. Like, the photography world is always changing. The art world is always changing. The technical skills that are involved, if I teach you technical skills and that's all I teach you, you're going to be outdated in 4 years, 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah,
you know, everything changes.
It does.
But because I teach them how to research, and I teach them the questions to ask, and I teach them how to find things out for themselves.
They're never caught behind an 8-ball.
They're never behind. They're always ahead.
Yeah.
And it helps them then when they go into these situations where other students are like, well, I'm here at this college to learn skills. And my kids are like, I'm here to make work. And like that difference in how they're operating sets them ahead of their peers and sets them ahead as they cruise forward.
Well, you guys are two extraordinary instructors. I enjoy talking to you. We could just talk all day, and I really appreciate it, but we're out of time. Mara Magarossi-Leitner, thank you so much. She is the digital photography and media instructor, and Carrie Thompson, the fire and EMT instructor here at the William D. Ford Career Technical Center. I also like to thank Principal Stephanie Bigelow and Superintendent of Wayne Westland Schools, Dr. John Dignan, for having us here today for the Building the Future podcast. And thank you for listening. And this is Lloyd Jackson, and we'll see you next time on Building the Future podcast.